We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks postgame podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. The Hawks lose 5-4 to the Edmonton Oilers, their eighth consecutive loss. Kind of the same thing, Steven, just plug in a name and play the last show. But this one's a little bit different. This one feels a little bit better. The fact that they battled back and made it a game and they were inches from tying the thing late. And the thing we've been watching, the storyline we've been watching is this team going to quit? And they're not. They haven't. And it seems like they won't. They battled their asses off in the third to get back in this game. Want to shout out Max Domi for sure, who was diving everywhere, doing everything he could to make things happen with the empty net, went back and saved a goal with his hustle. The dudes are playing hard, and it's just a matter, like we say every game, they're just out-talented. And this team they're playing against with McDavid and Draisaitl, you saw McDavid. Jack Johnson got the full treatment. It's just, you know, they play hard, and they fall short. And that's what a tank win is, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, kudos to them for not quitting. But you know, would it kill him to coast to a victory once instead of
that
being
would be
just
nice.
Try hard?
Yeah.
You know, again, you give up the first goal game. Is that 9 in a row, 8 in a row? I think it's 9 in a row.
Yeah, I think that's giving, right.
I think it's one more than the losing streak.
Right.
9 in a row, you've given up the first goal. Almost every one of those games, you've fallen behind 2-0. You're down 2-0 again. You get the Boris Tkachuk goal, get you into the game. And yeah, they could have easily folded it in. They gave up the early goal. McDavid, you know, goes around Jack Johnson like he's standing still. And that's not a knock
it's
on Jack
knock.
Johnson.
He it's does, reality.
Kyler McDavid does that to even the
everybody.
Most elite defenseman in the
yes.
league. So, you know, it's 3-1 and then it's 4-1 when Blackhawks legend Matthias Janmark scores. And you're like, oh, man, this is over. And then, you know, they get 2 goals in 19 seconds. They get another goal. You know, then they give it back.
Yep.
Then they get the power play where the four-minute power play that maybe Luke Richardson should have pulled the goalie at the start of it.
Yeah, you know, we're going to get into that. And I'm sure that will be asked post-game, so maybe we save that for when Mario jumps on.
And then, you know. They took advantage of Cody Ceci being a complete bonehead and trying to take the puck out in front of his own net. And there's Max Domi, right place, right time.
And Patrick Kane, by the way, with a defensive play, strips the puck from Ceci, no-look backhander to a diving Max Domi.
But he's checked out and doesn't care. Doesn't he's not interested.
I know. It's
he's comical. Given up, Jay. Like, he's given up on this team.
This is the same Patrick Kane that's been the same body language, the same commitment to defense, whatever you want to call it. He's the same guy he's always
the only
been.
Difference is he's not scoring goals.
Yes,
correct. And so when he's not scoring goals, the mannerisms all of a sudden get put under a microscope.
Right.
He's a player that's not having fun. That's not a player that's not interested. There's a difference. But yeah, they did a good job of coming back again. They're never out of a game. Never really in a game either, but they're never out of a game. But yeah, it was a Blackhawks. It was a 2022-23 Blackhawks game. We've seen it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
We are going to see it a shit ton more before this season is over. This is what it is. And credit to them, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been 8-4, 8-2. You know, there were a few goals. Edmonton had the goal taken away in the first period. And then
rightfully so.
Rightfully so, yes. But they also hit like two posts in that period too. Yes. So, you know, and Arvid Soderblom, that may have been his worst game of the year. You can't necessarily hang many of the goals on him. But he was a little shaky. He was losing his crease a lot. Like, for a couple of times, I was like, whoa, Alex Stalock, when did you get back here? Like, he was not as calm and easygoing in the crease as he usually is. He was fighting it a bit. And you know, again, I'm not saying it was his worst game because he gave up five goals.
No,
not much you can do when Connor McDavid's coming in at you full speed except close your eyes and hope it hits you. But he wasn't the same Arvid Soderblom in that, and that's fine. He's a young goalie. He's going to have bad games.
I think that you see, you know, skaters fall victim to being spooked by McDavid, and I think it can happen to goalies too.
Oh, it absolutely
is.
Does.
They're thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to get a shot off on me. Like, there was a moment in the game where McDavid had the puck, looked like a harmless play, and then just shot it through the legs of a Hawks defenseman. I think it got deflected wide or whatever, but if the guy's got the puck on his stick, he is a threat to score, or he's a threat to make something happen. And there's very few guys in the league you can say that, like, at any moment they can score on you. It feels like every time he touches the puck, something bad is going to happen. And there's a few guys I've seen in my life like that. One was number 66, Mario Lemieux, where it never felt like if he was on the ice, it was panic until he was off the ice. And I didn't see I watched Gretzky a lot on TV. I didn't see him, oddly enough, as much in person as I saw Lemieux in person. But just, like, those are the guys where it's like at any moment they're a threat. Like, we've seen Ovechkin and we've seen Crosby. And those guys, yeah, they're great. They're great players, but there's not that, like, these guys can score at any second on us. With McDavid, I feel that way.
I feel he could score when he's got the puck behind his own net.
Yes.
Because he can get to the other end of the ice in two strides.
And that's what we were talking about during the game is maybe I've seen, if you were to, like, line up blue line and race to, or line up at one goal line, race to the other, maybe there's been a guy or two I've seen that could beat him in that sort of a race. Like, maybe Pavel Bure, who I still think is the fastest skater I've ever seen. And maybe there's a couple others. But in terms of going from standing still to top speed, McDavid is second to none.
Never seen anybody do it. Been able to see him live in person twice this year from the press box. The dude is playing a different game than the rest of the league. It's not even close. Like, he can go from standing still to full speed in a half a step. And nobody can keep up with him. And it's so effortless.
That's the word. He played 27
minutes.
7 minutes.
Half the game almost.
27
minutes. I don't
think
he was even sweating.
He didn't. Yeah. A goal and assist plus two, 27:06. 9 shots on goal. The Hawks had 25 in the game. And 3 more shot attempts. That is like an average, like, night for Connor McDavid.
That's the thing. Like,
he doesn't have to exert himself.
Connor McDavid should probably win the Hart Trophy every year he plays, but I think we're just so, like, it's just what he does. It's just what he does. So we're going to give it to somebody else. We'll give it to his teammate instead, or we'll give it to Austin Matthews. Last year was Austin Matthews' turn.
It's like the Carl Malone MVP that they took away from Jordan just because they wanted somebody new.
Right. But you can't tell me there's a better player in the league than Connor McDavid. Absolutely. Or a more valuable player than Connor McDavid. I don't care if Austin Matthews scores 90 goals in a season. I'm taking Connor McDavid over Austin Matthews.
Yeah. He's unbelievable. Yeah. He's just unreal. And, you know,
I love watching him in person. I wish the Oilers played here 6 more times this season just so I could watch Connor McDavid play.
Seriously.
He's my favorite player in the league.
It's getting to the point now where you start planning your Hawks tickets based on opponent. And who's going to be here and who you want to see, you know, and
unfortunately they're not back this year.
No, but you know, he is just, I'm just trying to think of
like whose appointment guys in the league now. Cale McCarr.
McCarr is an appointment. I think Nathan MacKinnon is an appointment.
Good thing they're on the same team. Yeah, saves exactly. You money.
I think that Ovechkin still is. I think Crosby still is, especially as Ovechkin starts to not catch Gretzky, but pursue Gretzky in the goal scoring lead. You know, there's other great players, but who am I tuning in to watch?
Yeah,
McDavid, Matthews.
If I'm
McKinnon,
going on
McCarr,
game time and spending my own money to go watch another player,
yeah,
it's not a huge list, but
no,
like I would pay full price, beyond full price, to see Connor McDavid play hockey.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
He will wow you several times a game. And you look at him and you're like, oh, he had 2 points. Look at the impact that dude had in this game. It is unbelievable. He's so freaking.
Maybe a fun conversation about McDavid later, what we talked about earlier. Or at least maybe not if we don't get to it tonight. It's definitely something we'll get to at some point. Yeah.
For sure. So the other fun things about this game, if you want to call them fun, a ton of guys scoring their first goal of the year. Entwistle gets his first. Matthias Janmark, Blackhawks legend, gets one for the Oilers. Boris Kachuk gets his first goal of the year. I'm really happy to see Mackenzie Entwistle get results.
Good for him. Yeah.
I think that he has played,
his ass
pretty
off.
Well. And one of the frustrating things about this game, and we were here, you know, it's very strange in the press box, the way the sound travels, people are like, you suck, shoot the puck. It sounds like it's coming from behind us.
Well, Phil Thompson admitted it. One of those shoots might have been from him.
Yeah, right. But it sounds like that, but we were hearing it, and like, for the first time in my life, I'm like, the shoot the puck guys are right. Colin Blackwell, just refusing to shoot. And if the third period proved anything,
shoot the puck.
Throw the effing puck at the net.
Yeah.
Jack Johnson's like, flip, and it hits Boris Kachuk, and it's a goal. Mackenzie Entwistle's in traffic and just swings a stick at it. Goes in. Max Domi dives and pokes it in. Shoot the effing puck.
There is a reason the Blackhawks are dead last in the league in 5-on-5 Corsi 4 percentage, 41%. So if you're not a fancy stat genius, that basically means while 5-on-5, for every 6 shot attempts that are done, 6 of them are for the other team, 4 for the Blackhawks. Right. That's not good. That's dead last in the league. And you saw why that is tonight. So many guys passing up shot attempts. They had, in that first period, they had a lot of zone time, but only 6 shots on goal because they would get the puck in the zone, and then 4 guys would skate it around the perimeter while nobody goes to the front of the net, and then they turn to look for a pass, and they kick it out of the zone, and it goes down the ice. So you have 45 seconds of zone time and not even a shot attempt.
Yeah, that's...
It's one thing if you get 10 shots on goal, but you've had 30 attempts and guys, the other team's blocking them or you're missing wide. They're not even getting shot attempts.
Well, it's felt like, you know, you look at the shots on goal in this game, right? And it's not even close. It's, I got to pull up the official numbers. Hawks were outshot 41-25. But if you were at this game, the possession, actually like controlling the puck, having the puck in a zone, felt a lot closer to split than it did tilted towards the Oilers. But the Hawks, like you said, they've got the puck. They cycle it. They skate around. They wait for the perfect shot. Then they turn it over. Then they got to get it back. And then they come back in, look for the perfect shot, skate around the perimeter, circle the net, go to the point, drop it back, pass it back and forth. And inevitably, because they are so limited in their talent, inevitably a pass is going to go awry and you're going to have to reset the whole damn thing. Hopefully they can take something away from the second half of this game and say, look, we don't have a lot of talent. We don't have a lot of guys who are bona fide snipers. We don't have appointment television hockey players anymore. I think that's Patrick Kane's not appointment TV anymore. No. Until he starts putting the puck in the net. So just start chucking the puck at the net. Just throw it, and get your opportunity.
Here's an idea. Don't wait till you're down 3 goals in the third period to start shooting the puck.
Yeah.
Do it from the opening faceoff, and maybe you'll have a 3-1 lead at one point.
Yes. And look, if
it's the same thing every game. We're going to try and be perfect, and now we're freaking losing by multiple goals. So now we're going to play simple and shoot. Start the game that way.
Yes. I know it seems like the easiest narrative to talk about is like, well, just shoot. But really,
it is though.
when your opportunities tonight, they had them, but generally as a team, the Hawks don't get a ton of offensive opportunities. When it presents, take it. The more you pass, the more likely you are to make a mistake. They're not the Globetrotters on ice anymore, like Pat Foley used to call them. They're just not. They don't have the ability to do that. They're built to keep the game simple. And when they started the season by winning 4 games in a row, they were keeping it simple. Yes, there were some smoke and mirrors there. Yes, there was some puck luck. Yes, there was some outstanding goaltending happening for the Blackhawks at that time, and it probably wasn't as real as it appeared. However, the reason they had success was because they kept the thing so damn simple. And they have strayed from that as the losses pile up and guys are getting more frustrated and feeling snake bitten. They feel like they have to create that perfect open net for their teammate to score goals. No. Throw it at the freaking net and let it be. That's it. And it's going to hit somebody on the way in, or you're going to have someone battle in front. That's what this team is built to do, is win those battles in front. You saw Taylor Radish almost tie the game from crashing the net. A puck comes right in front. He gets a piece of it. It's not enough, but they were right there. They were right there.
Yeah. Those third and fourth lines are never going to create highlight reel goals. Do what you do. Be simple. Get to the net. Get guys to the front of the net to get rebounds. Get some traffic. Take away the eyes of the goaltender. Colin Blackwell, my guy. I like Colin Blackwell. I like what he brings to this team. But, dude, you are not the guy that needs to be passing up shot opportunities to try and look for something better. Just shoot the puck.
Yeah. It's very simple. And, you know, again, hopefully the success they had late in the game from doing just that translates. And they say, okay, look, now it's probably been told to them by Luke Richardson and all of his assistants, you know, but just keep it simple. Do it. They've probably heard the message over and over again. Now they've gotten some results from it. And hopefully it translates. I'm seeing some people in the chat just kind of feeling a little bit bummed out about this loss. And I see where you're coming from, because as a fan, you just want to feel good every now and again. And yeah, like, we're going to do the tank standings later, and every Hawks loss is a good thing when it comes to trying to get Connor Bedard on this team. But you need something to sustain you as a fan. And I'm sure the players feel the same way, you know, but it's like, this felt like one that would be fun to win because the Oilers kind of need it. They're fourth in the Pacific. They're not performing as expected. They've had some collapses lately, and it would have been nice to take a point at least in this game, and they fall short. And I know it's frustrating, and I'm frustrated by it too. Like, you and I were, as they were getting it close, we were getting excited. You know, that second Domi goal, I was like, yeah, like, I stood up and cheered. I felt like Matt and Big Dave watching a Bulls game. I haven't done that all year. And it's just, ugh, it's tough. I know it's tough to be a fan right now, but try to keep the big picture in mind.
Yeah.
And know this is by design, and it's going to get better at some point. I can't say soon.
No, it's not going to get better this year.
Yeah.
But it's going to get better. The pain will be worth it. Just got to stick in there. The pain will be worth it. There's help on the way down the road. You know, there's a nice little foundation built of prospects, promising prospects, like real legit prospects, not, you know, Ryan Hartman's or Brendan Peary's, real prospects. What Kevin Korchinski's doing is special. He's going to be great. You know, Lucas Reichel is going to get here at some point.
Yeah.
He's coming off a real big weekend. His arrow is pointing up in Rockford. So there's reasons to be hopeful. And yes, it stinks. It stinks losing this, you know, it stinks losing. And nobody wants to lose as a fan. Nobody wants to lose as a player. But there's a purpose behind all of this. Just got to keep that in mind, that you know, come 24-25, we're going to long forget about these awful games, this copy and paste post-game show that we have to do every time.
Yeah.
It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it.
Tom Quinn in the chat points out that Kevin Korchinski had 2 assists tonight, so he continues his dynamic play for Seattle. Seeing a lot of, as predicted, Seth Jones hate going on in the chat, and I don't know, you stop a 2-on-1 with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. I don't know what he's supposed to do.
I don't get that either.
He tried to sprawl out and take the pass away.
He was left on an island all night tonight.
Yeah.
All night tonight. There was the one goal. It must have been, I think it was one of the second period goals. Maybe the first. Whatever it was, he's out there trying to defend. It was the Nugent Hopkins goal because Connor Murphy and Patrick Kane are standing there next to each other, and they don't cover the guy. You know, Jones does his job, but Murphy and Kane are, neither of them pick up the guy that, you know, the goal scorer. Yeah, when you look at the number for Seth Jones, yeah, it doesn't look good. It's not a great statistic night for him, but I mean, I'm not exactly 100% sure what he's supposed to do on some of those plays.
Well, guess what? He played 28.08 in this game.
Yeah.
I mean,
almost exclusively against Connor McDavid.
Yes.
So I don't know many defensemen out there that are going to have good numbers playing 28 minutes almost exclusively against Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I think we know how the team looked without him versus how they look with him, and it's a hell of a lot better.
And too many people focus on what he's getting paid.
Got paid what his market value was.
Essentially, yes.
Maybe a little bit more. Too much.
Yeah.
Sure.
But as the market evolves, as the salary cap goes up, as the Blackhawks' salary goes down because you're getting rid of contracts off your books, it's not going to look like, this is not a time to be worried about what a player is making.
Well, Sam is in the chat saying when you make $9.5 million, you don't get to make excuses regardless of the team around him. Kane and Taves make $10.5 million. Patrick Kane has 3 goals, fewer power play goals than Jujhar Khaira. But no one's on here dragging Patrick Kane about his salary.
Yeah.
It's a narrative. What we're talking about here is a narrative. People did not like the Seth Jones trade. Fine. That's fair. But that is not Seth Jones's fault. That is the fault of he who shall not be named, who is no longer with the team, which is why we don't name him anymore. He's gone. So don't just be pissed at Seth Jones because he's Seth Jones. He's not the only guy on this team making a ton of money underperforming. Join the club.
He was a -3 tonight. You know who else was a -3 tonight? Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves are both -3s. So, and they're making more money than Seth Jones.
Right.
So,
and yes, of course, they've won things here in the past and they've get some credit. But Seth Jones joined this team coming off a sexual abuse scandal, an absolute buffoon as a head coach. What'd they go, 1-12 before he was fired? What was the record last year?
1-9-3.
Something crazy last year. And it's absolutely brutal. Chaotic start. Derek King said to us when he was on our show last year that they were in absolute turmoil when he took over. Seth Jones trying to live up to the expectations. He's on a bad defensive team, and now he's going to be the scapegoat for all the Hawks' woes. Like, here's what I'll say. Watch the game.
Yeah. No.
Stop looking at this, at the graphs and the stat sheets and all those things. It's like,
when you're the last in the league at 5-on-5 Corsi 4 percentage, that's a team stat. That's not because Seth Jones sucks. That's because the whole team sucks at 5-on-5. So, you know, there's a lot of things, as Lafferty, Daniel says, there's a lot of things Seth Jones does in the course of a game that don't show up on score sheets that no one else on that team can do.
Right.
So, you know, it's Seth Jones was set up to fail because of what we gave up for him. Hey, when was the last time you seen an Adam Boqvist highlight?
Yeah.
Who would you rather have on your team right now? Seth Jones or Adam Boqvist?
Oh, there's people that are going to say Adam Boqvist.
Well, those people need to watch actual hockey games. Because Adam Boqvist is never going to be a defensive wizard. He's not even a dynamic offensive player at this point.
He's played 4 games this year, 0 points, minus 1. I know he's been banged up.
He's been hurt. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, but even last year, he had a couple of hot stretches, but he's not been the guy you envisioned when you picked him 7th overall, even though, you know, that was a reach, which was, you know, a trait of the last guy that was here that is no longer here. So it doesn't matter, but
no,
you know, it is what it is. People are going to hate Seth Jones no matter what. He can win 3 Norris trophies in a row and people are still going to think he makes too much money.
Yep.
It's not your money. Who cares what he makes?
Exactly. Mario is standing by from the United Center, so we're going to tell you about our friends at Athletic Greens. But Greg's going to go first, and he's going to tell you about some sweet-ass glasses.
Yes, sweet-ass glasses from Shady Rays. That's their new logo, their new slogan. They're putting it up over the big window at the Shady Rays factory. Shady Rays never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change it, and by golly, that's exactly what they've done. You don't need to break the bank for quality sunglasses this winter. It's not fall anymore. It's winter out there because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. Best part about Shady Rays is they have the most insane protection program on all of eyewear. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Did you drop them in the lake? Did you break them because you got hit with one of Matt Peck's flying hats? Doesn't matter. They will replace them for you for free. Even with that strong of a protection program, they still manage to make quality that I could tell you from being a customer of theirs for a while now. They are just as good, if not better, than any one of those expensive name brands you find out there in the eyewear market. Shady Rays will also do something very cool. Besides giving you cool sunglasses, they provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed. And that's over 20 million meals donated up to date. That's awesome. They stand behind their product, and they told our team that if anyone has a problem, they throw profit right out the giant window at the Shady Rays factory and do what it takes to get it right. Free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. And an exclusive deal for our CHGO listeners, who we love, Shady Rays is giving you 50% off 2 or more pairs at ShadyRays.com when you use the promo code CHGO at checkout. That's buy one, get one free, kids. You can get 2 pairs of awesome Shady Rays sunglasses for as low as $54 at ShadyRays.com.
My wife had some stomach issues a while back, and when the Athletic Greens were delivered here to CHGO, I did some of the reads, heard Mario sell it really well, and I said, this sounds like something that might be able to help her. And let me tell you, since bringing home that bag of Athletic Greens and then jumping on as customers ourselves, she has felt so much better, so much healthier. All her stomach problems have seemed to improve big time. And she wanted to feel better in her gut. She wanted more energy. She wanted an optimized immune system, and it's done all that stuff without having to take pills. You take the AG1 powder, you put it in a drink. It's absolutely fantastic. It tastes good. It smells good. You drink it down, and it's absolutely amazing. It's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it contains less than 1 gram of sugar. So if you got the diabetes like I do, good for you. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything while still tasting good. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens was created when the founders experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up on a complicated supplement routine to recover. It cost them $100 a day. To make it easy for you to feel good in your gut again, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Blackhawks. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/CHGO Blackhawks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional supplement. All right, let's go out to the United Center and bring in our buddy, the newly coiffed Mario Tirabassi. Mario, there we are. Now we're at full strength. What's going on, man? What did we learn?
Hey, yeah, I mean, it's great to see the comeback effort from the Blackhawks, another game in which they were forced into having a comeback effort. Luke Richardson basically saying that, you know, that's a product of more desperate play, and it's not necessarily the kind of play that is sustainable. And Mark Lazarus asked the question, you know, why can't this team just play with that kind of desperation, that kind of edge mentality that they had in the back half of the third period, just from the start of the game? Richardson basically explaining, which I have to say, this week, John Tortorella made the rounds in the hockey Twitter world for the way he handles himself in post-game media scrums and basically in any media availability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, LOL, torts being torts. I really appreciate Luke Richardson's candor and his way he handles media availability, the way he speaks to the media. It is, it's completely the opposite. He actually took about 3 minutes to explain why the way that they played in the back half of the third period is unsustainable, not something that they want to do and not something that they're going to do. He broke down the way that the, you know, when the defense is pinching, you can't have the F3, as he says, the third forward of the group in the way that, you know, the team is situated there, can't have them jumping in to cover for that defenseman all the time. Because when you do that, now not only are you pinched a defenseman, you're now pinched a forward. And against a team like the Oilers, who have Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, you can't have two of your players pinching on the same play to cover for each other. So again, the ability for him to, or not the ability, but the, you know, the willingness to actually explain that and to go into that kind of detail, I really do appreciate. But he said, you know, that kind of desperation play is not something that they're going to do to change the way that they play. They're not going to go to the 2018-19 Blackhawks system where it was just like, hey, everyone, step on the gas and screw the goalies. We're going to try and score 7 goals a game. Like, they can't play that way. Even though these comeback efforts are nice, they're not sustainable. So, you know, it's at least it was entertaining in a game that looked like it was going to be, you know, just a very much by the book, Oilers are that much better than the Blackhawks kind of game. Yeah. You give them credit for the comeback effort, but it's just another, you know, it's another game where they have to get punched in the mouth a few times before they have a little bite back. And you just kind of would hope to see within their system have that punch and that bite right away, rather than having to be put on their heels and play outside of their system to have any chance of mustering up any kind of offense.
Well, a big part of the story early in the game was the Blackhawks' lack of willingness to put the puck on net. And we've heard from Luke Richardson all year about the Blackhawks having to keep it simple. And simply putting the puck on net is keeping it simple. Did he have any sort of comments about that mindset early in the game? Because, I mean, it wasn't just Colin Blackwell, but there was one shift in particular where Colin Blackwell had two separate opportunities to walk in and take a shot and just didn't.
Yeah.
And then moments later, Jason Dickinson has the same opportunity wide open in the slot and then tries to do the old Duncan Keith slap pass to no one. It's like, ugh, friggin' simplify it. And I think this, the first half of this game and the second half of this game really illustrate it. The first half, they refused. The second half, they started just throwing things at the net, starting with Jack Johnson with like a 45-mile-an-hour knuckleball that gets redirected and goes in. It was a story of two games, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think they need to play with that desperation, that pedal, you know, onto the floor like they did.
Yeah.
But play with some urgency to shoot. That's right. What I want to see them do. Don't wait till you're down 2-0 before you decide to say, "Yeah, screw it, let's shoot the puck."
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of the efforts today, you know, game planning for this Edmonton team was focused on trying to contain Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid and slow them down as much as possible. Which, good luck, you literally can't do that. I think maybe it was more or less just trying to play a bit too conservative to try and contain them rather than maybe having the green light to let some shots go and take some chances offensively. You know, you're down, you give up the first goal again, you give up the second goal again, you're down 3-1, 4-1 at different times. Like, you, at some point, you can't just say, oh, now we're down 3-1, now let's just start throwing pucks at the net. Like, if you're down, this team, when you're down 1-0, it might as well be 2-0. It might as well be 3-0. The way that they're giving up the lead in almost every game that they've played this year, giving up the first lead, I don't understand how everyone on the team, if you have a shooting lane, you're taking it. Or if there's traffic in front of the net, you know, an opponent and a Blackhawks player, two Blackhawks players, two opponents, whatever it is. They bring in one of the mannequins from the practice rink. I don't care who it is. If there's any if there's any traffic in front of the net where you think you can get a bounce or someone's stick on the puck, why aren't you taking it? Like, this team has the worst offense in the NHL. They score the fewest goals. They're the most inept at 5-on-5. They have now, what, an 8-game losing streak? They've lost 14 of their last 16 games. What do you have to lose from throwing the puck at the net and seeing what happens? Like, does it matter if it's a one-and-done possession or if you have six perfect tape-to-tape passes, but then you're passing up on shooting lanes and then you fumble a puck, it's a turnover and it goes the other way? What does it matter if you make six great passes before you try and tic-tac-toe a scoring opportunity, or if you throw a puck on net from the blue line and hope someone gets a bounce or a tip? To me, there's no difference between either of those possessions. At least one of them has the puck trying to be thrown at the net without having to give it up the other way. So they talk about simplifying the game, like you guys said, simplifying the game, trying to play more north-south, trying to have a mentality of shooting.
Yep.
I don't see it until they're losing. So I don't know. The question wasn't asked in the media availability with Richardson or, you know, with any of the players. It just kind of comes down to, you know, they speak about not wanting to have to play from behind. You gotta play like it, though. You gotta play like you don't want to play from behind.
I've been joking for a couple of weeks, and I think they actually have to do it now. Next time they're at home, they're on a road trip now. When they come back home, I think the United Center should just, at the opening faceoff, should have the Blackhawks down 2-0 on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
So they look up and say, "Oh, we're already down 2-0. All right, let's start playing." I mean, it's they're going to fall behind 2-0 anyway. So you might as well put it up there to start a game and see if that changes anything.
Real quick, I want to point out that it is after midnight, and we have nearly 80 people watching our postgame show. Thank you for that. As the great Jaromir Jagr points out, he has joined us in the chat, as he always does. Thanks, Jags. Appreciate it. 78 people, 33 likes. That means that a significant amount of you have not smashed that like button.
Please
smash that like button for us. It really, really helps us grow as a company. It makes us more visible on YouTube. We appreciate that big time. If you're just a podcaster, that's cool too. Make sure you are subscribed wherever you get your podcasts, and maybe subscribe multiple places if you feel like it. And make sure, of course, you're subscribed to the YouTube channel
as well. If it feels good, do it.
One last thing before we get to our fun features, Mario. Yes. Hawks have a 4-minute power play towards the end of the game. Ryan Nugent Hopkins, who is trying to do literally everything, including 8 penalty minutes in this one. Any questions about Richardson waiting so long to take a timeout? Or to pull the goalie, rather.
Yes. Yeah. So his rationale for waiting to pull Arvid Soderblom tonight until there was, like a minute and a half left in the game, something like that.
Soderblom.
He said that, you know, in that situation, you're down 2 goals, but they're playing, his words, they're playing Draisaitl and McDavid on the penalty kill, and they're also only rolling two units at that point in the game for an extended period of time. So he's factoring in the players on the ice for Edmonton, who you turn the puck over, even in your own offensive zone, it can go back the other way and make it a 3-goal lead rather than a 2-goal lead. And you're fighting against fatigue with your own players. So that was the rationale behind waiting to pull the goalie. It ended up, you know, working out. They got a goal scored with the goalie pulled to make it close. And, you know, later with, 13 seconds left, Taylor Radish had a great opportunity, just getting stopped by Stuart Skinner there at the goal line. And we might be talking about a tie game and not a regulation loss, which, as we get to the tank standings, would have been a bad thing.
Well, that's valid. I mean, that we were talking about, and I said
it's hard to argue that,
against the Oilers. I get not wanting to have an open net because,
yeah, but yeah, sure. I'll give them that one. Maybe the next time you get a 4-minute power play when you're down and you're playing the New York Islanders, definitely pull the goalie a little sooner.
At least he had a reason.
Yes. Any reason is better than just, oh, I didn't realize.
Right.
So, yeah, listen, Luke Richardson is always going to have a reason and a well-thought-out one at that. So I'll give him that one.
All right, let's do our 4th stars of the game right now.
Right now.
Number 3 star of the game goes to Blackhawks forward Mackenzie Entwistle, scoring his first goal of the season, also picking up an assist. You're going to hear about him later. Little teaser.
Too bad his parents weren't around to see it.
Yeah, too bad he's got no family. Just that little basket he floated down the river in. Number 2 star, Matthias Janmark, Blackhawks legend. He had a goal and an assist, his first goal of the season as well for the Oilers. And your number 1 star, a ho-hum night for Leon Draisaitl. 2 goals and assist and 6 shots on goal. There you have it. There's your 3 stars. My 4 star tonight is going to be number 11. Since we're in a Radish garden, Taylor Radish. I really like that line of Domi, Radish, and Kurashev. And if you look at the natural stat trick, fancy stats in this one, that line had a 62% Corsi percentage in this game. 13 shot attempts for, 8 against. If you're more of a Fenwick person, how about 64.3% in the Corsi in this one? They were the Hawks' best line, if you don't count the 4th line, who played very, very little at 5-on-5. They were great, and Radish really, really, I think, is starting to feel it a little bit. He got some good scoring chances, also made some really nice kind of subtle plays. There was one like little backhand pass he made that created a scoring chance. I really liked Radish's game tonight, and I think I mentioned it, I don't know if it was the last show or 2 shows ago, that I'm starting to feel him find his way a little bit, and you're starting to see the chemistry develop. Yes, he's on a new line now, but I really like the way that line played in their first game together. So he's mine.
Yeah, that line was good, and kudos to Max Domi. 5 shots on goal. I think it took away getting away from Patrick Kane to get him to start shooting the puck more. So that's good. And that top line. But anywho, my 4th star is a guy that I have become a giant fan of. And that is number 8 in your programs, but number 1 in our hearts, Bubble Toes himself, Mr. Jack Johnson. This guy was a beast tonight. He was all over the place. Yeah, he got embarrassed on that Connor McDavid goal, but who hasn't?
Joined a club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. The fact that he only got embarrassed once tonight shows you how good he was. He had the assist on the first goal. We all thought he scored the goal at first, but it brushed Boris Kachuk's breezers on the way by. Isn't that a Marcy's Playground song?
I think
brushed
it is.
Breezers. Still finished with the assist. Two shots on goal, two hits. Almost 22 minutes of ice time. Listen, when the Blackhawks signed him, I was the first to make jokes. I look at the fancy stats, and I read all the mean tweets about him. But this dude plays his ass off. This dude is not nearly as bad as some people want to say he is. Listen, all you got to know what kind of player and what kind of guy he is look what the Colorado Avalanche did on opening night. They wanted him out there in his Blackhawks uniform to celebrate. You know, Gabriel Landeskog, the team captain, made sure post-game he came by and talked to Jack Johnson. Spend 15 seconds with Jack Johnson off the ice talking to him, and you're like, wow, this is a solid dude. So I'm a big Jack Johnson fan, regardless of, is he the best defenseman out there? No, but he is a great defenseman for this team and what he brings to this locker room. He had a great game tonight. So I'm all about the Jack Johnson love.
I am a huge fan of Johnson. Mario, who do you got?
I have a member of that second line as well as Taylor Radish. I've got Philip Kershev. You know, he was someone who had the shooter's mentality tonight on a team that really didn't have it until the back half of the third period. He had four shots on goal up until, you know, the back half of that third period, was leading the team in individual expected goals for. You know, I think he's really kind of found his own. I think that second line, like you said, Jay, had a great night. And I'm interested to see that trio a little bit more. I wonder how long they stay together, because that is kind of indicative of how long the Athanasiou, Kane, and Toews line will stick together, who did not have a great night. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I like the game from Philip Kurashev tonight. I think we've mentioned it on a few shows. I think his game is starting to kind of come around. And, you know, if once he starts tallying up some points, we might see a player that can be here for a couple more years.
I got a $2 super chat from Brandon Sikori. Thank you, as always, Brandon. I think we just blew Mario's eardrums out based on that reaction.
Sorry, Mario.
Poor Arvid Soderblom, he says. He was left out, hung out to dry tonight, as he has been most of the season. So thanks for the super chat there. All right, so we've got our four stars in there. Now we've got to do the tank standings. Ooh. Let's do that. That's fun. All right, here we go. Folks, here it is. The Anaheim not-so-mighty Ducks still on top of the tank standings with 14 points in 23 games. They are 6-15-2, but right on their heels are your Chicago Blackhawks, 6-12-4, 16 points in 22 games. Columbus with 16 points in 21 games are third. Ottawa and Arizona each have 17 points, but Ottawa is ahead in the tank standings because they've played two more games than the Coyotes. So there you go. As it stands today, the Blackhawks have the second worst record in the NHL, just like your Chicago Bears.
Bears.
We are consistent as a town, are we not? As hats are still being chucked after the Bulls game. I saw some guy, I don't know basketball, Steven, help me out. Some dude on the Suns had 51 points.
Yeah, Devin Booker did it in three quarters. Didn't even play the fourth quarter. No need.
That sounds...
Bulls got beat bad.
I'm no basketball expert, but that is good.
51 points, and yeah, that's...
Not even playing the fourth quarter.
I would say that's McDavid-esque.
20 of 25 shooting.
20 of 25 shooting?
Yes, that is pretty impressive.
That sounds unsustainable.
I would think so, yes.
Again, not a basketball expert.
Yeah,
but
I'm
going to think that doesn't happen very often.
And we want to thank Ryan for jumping in the chat saying Devin Booker is really good. Cool. I will Google him after the show.
Just reach out to our PHNX group there. They'll tell you how good Devin Booker is.
There you go. Exactly. Oh, is he number one? Is that his jersey number?
Yeah.
Oh, they have a PHNX is selling a shirt that says like MVP. and the part of the P is a 1. So, okay, now I understand
it. It's all coming together.
It's all there coming back to me
and
now.
If he has eight more games against the Bulls, he's totally getting the MVP.
No doubt.
Yeah.
All right, Mario, have a fun drive back to Wisconsin.
Thanks. Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow night at the CHGO Rager.
Yes. Yeah, can't wait. It's going to be all a lot buddy. Of fun.
All yes. right, take care. Thanks for the great work as always.
Yep. See you.
CHGO fans, keep your eyes peeled on all of the personalities' social medias tomorrow. There might be some like stuff that shows up for like a minute and then is quickly removed.
Delete.
Just keep delete, put delete, it all on. Delete, put all delete. Of us on notification. We're having our first annual CHGO
inaugural. Herb's gonna kill you.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad. Well, yeah, all right, you're right. It is the inaugural. I'm that guy too. I goofed. The inaugural CHGO Friendsgiving. Everybody is getting together with their significant others. We got some special guests from Denver.
John Elway coming down.
Yes. And Russell.
Carl Mecklenburg.
I think they're going to sneak in Russell Wilson and hope to leave him here, but we're not going to allow that to happen.
Sorry, that ship is
sailed. But yeah, we're going to have a nice big holiday celebration here in the office. There's going to be some Malort involved. Not for me. I will casually stand in the corner sipping my fake beers and watching the madness go down.
I am going to be in the old man corner, probably me and Luke. Stuckmeyer.
I'll be joining we'll be napping there,
As the party's raging. Keep it down! Two old men trying to sleep.
It'll be fun, though. Good times. So
yeah,
I'm sure there'll be some good social media content. And I'm looking forward to busting out, debuting a brand new Christmas-themed shirt tomorrow night.
Oh, very
good
one.
It's going to be a good one.
All right. One more thing we got to knock out of the park before we wrap the show up here in a little bit. King of the game, DraftKings Sportsbook, King of the game. Who do we got? Now, typically, on a night like tonight, we'd give it to Max Domi, who was probably the best Blackhawk. However, when Mackenzie Entwistle, he of no family, scores his first goal of the season and also picks up an assist, you take the opportunity to give the orphan Mackenzie Entwistle the DraftKings King of the game, a goal, an assist, a shot on goal. That's 100% shooting, my friends. In only 8:54 of ice time, very solid game for Mackenzie Entwistle. He is our DraftKings King of the game. And hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. You know what I did today, Greg? I bet the Oilers to score first and Connor McDavid to score a goal, and I am a big wiener. That is a same-game parlay, and that is the most fun I have playing on DraftKings Sportsbook. It is a lot of fun. It's a way to put a small wager and have a big payout. Not a huge payout because McDavid was like minus 130 to score a goal or something. So I had to parlay it with the first goal thing, and I think I got like plus 155. But guess what? A win is a win is a win. And I'll take it, and you should too. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code CHGO. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. I want to thank Brandon for saying, Jay, there's no way you're older than 40. I am turning 45 in a couple weeks. I'll be 45 on December 12th. So
I, too, would not have guessed that.
Thank you.
I thought you were in your upper 30s.
I appreciate that. I have the mentality of a child, so I think
that helps.
Keeps you young at heart. And
I'm not that far behind.
And you. I have gravy running through my veins. That must be doing something as well. But it's also time for the DraftKings Play of the Week.
Right, which I just made.
What do we got?
We're going to stick with some NHL bets. It's not a same game parlay, but it is a parlay. We're going to ride the hot hands here. I am going to put Jack Hughes over half a point. Jack Hughes has been phenomenal for the red hot New Jersey Devils. He's been scoring points left and right. I am parlaying with him one Connor McDavid over a point and a half. So we need 1 point from Jack Hughes, 2 points from Connor McDavid. Who are right back at it tomorrow at the Minnesota Wild. I like Connor McDavid's
like
chances of getting 2 points against the Minnesota Wild. So that parlay is a total of plus 137. Not the greatest bet of all time, but hey, it's doubling your money essentially. So Jack Hughes, 1 point. Connor McDavid, at least 2 points. And that's a winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's the DraftKings pick of the week.
That sounds like a really good one. I think I'm going to play along at home tomorrow. All right, before we wrap up, can we take a moment to... We're going to qualify our complaints that we love our jobs. We don't care how late it is. However,
yeah,
TNT needs to have a better plan than we'll just wait to see you in the game before this one ends to start the game.
Yeah.
There's no reason if you've got two games happening and you say 8:30 puck drop, which in reality from my days of producing Blackhawks games is 8:37:35. That is the precise time of the puck drop. Why not just start the Hawks game on the regional channel and say, if you're in the Chicago and Edmonton markets, we're going to flip the Chicago Edmonton. What they did today was put the Hawks game on True TV for the, while the Sabres and Red Wings wrapped up.
Why don't you just do that anyway?
Just do that in the first place. Or start the game on time.
Just put it on and say, hey, we're putting you, we're switching over to the Chicago Edmonton markets to start the game. If you're in those markets and you still want to watch the end of this game,
switch to True TV.
Stream live on the TNT app.
Yes, or whatever. But it's ridiculous that...
A 8:53
puck drop.
Puck drop on a Wednesday night in for the regular. It's one thing if it's the playoffs.
Or a weekend.
Because we did this a lot in those the good old days when we played the playoffs. How many of those Minnesota Wild first round games started at almost 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
But you could deal with that for a playoff game. For Wednesday night, for a team that's on an 8-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care for it. Again, not complaining. I will take a paycheck to cover an NHL game at 3 o'clock in the morning if I have to. It's the best job I've ever had. I never want to have another job, but... For Christ's sake, that's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's not even about us. It's just about you're telling fans.
Now we know.
First of all, you're telling fans come an hour later, and they're like, just kidding, it's an hour and a half later. That sucks. That sucks for
Buffalo,
fans.
Detroit.
Yeah. Call Detroit, tell them bullshit, and hang up. yeah, so that's rough. The other thing I want to acknowledge, NB in the chat said he used the Game Time app today. To go to see Connor McDavid in person, and he was entertained. Yes. I assume NB is a he because he's got J.K. Simmons as his avatar. That Game Time app is great because you can go see the Hawks and Oilers for $18. That's what it was.
Well, now we know why it was so much cheaper because everybody knew, like, hey,
yeah,
it's Wednesday. You're not going to get home at 12:30 at night. But
yeah, but if you're looking to buy tickets, especially last minute, to any event, use that Game Time app. And make sure, please, when you use it, get in the habit of clicking the link in our show descriptions because that's what helps us out here at CHGO. You're going to save either way, but if you're a CHGO fan, take advantage of our special link, and it will help us out. It'll help you out. It's mutually beneficial.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
Except the Blackhawks.
And also a reminder, if you're not already... To become a CHGO diehard, go to allchgo.com, sign up to be a diehard. I know a lot of you listening are already diehards, and we thank you for that. But if you're on the fence, you haven't tried it yet, our Black Friday sale, diehard saved 70%. We've got a tailgate coming up Sunday. You're going to save on the tailgate tickets.
Bulls Stadium takeover
was announced.
We've
got some takeovers coming up. You're going to save on that. And when you sign up, you get a free shirt or hat right off the bat. All right, and that's where you can get our legendary 81 design that we launched right after a certain banner for a certain number 81 went up last week. So there are so many benefits to being a diehard at CHGO. Go to allchgo.com to become a diehard and to buy tickets for your tailgate for Bears Packers Sunday, 8:30 at the corner of Michigan and Roosevelt. It's going to be a great time.
Bring your parka.
Bring your parka and bring La Parka, the old WCW wrestler.
Love that guy. I don't think he's the chairman of the board.
Yeah, I think he's not doing much.
Probably
he was. He was good in the WCW versus NWO video games.
Did a little dance.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. And he'd probably be the warmest guy there because he'll have the full mask on.
You know what's really funny? What was the first? Was it WW? Was it WrestleMania 2000? Was that the first time it switched to WWF?
I think you're right.
When you created a wrestler, we played this in college nonstop. That game. And I tried to create myself, and I used Jerry Lawler's face, and it looked just like me. It was uncanny how much Nintendo Jerry Lawler looks like Jay Zawoski.
That's good to know. I'm gonna Google that.
And I wore Kane's pants, not Patrick Kane, Kane, but I changed the red to blue. That's it. You can make a Jay Zawoski in your video games now. Congratulations, everybody.
What was your wrestling name?
Oh God.
The Gravy Meister?
I don't think I did anything creative. I think I was just Jay Zawoski. Pretty boring.
The guy that got beat up by King Kong Bundy on Superstars every Saturday morning.
Yeah, right. I was like the Barry Horowitz.
And from Gary, Indiana, Jay.
Yeah. All right, fellas and gals and everybody, thanks for joining us. Really, really appreciate y'all being here. We've got 60 people in the chat as we're winding down the show for a late night game on a weeknight. That means the world to us. So on your way out, if you haven't yet, please smash that like button. Make sure you're following all of us on Twitter. Greg's at Greg Boyson. Mario is at Mario_Tirabassi. I'm at Jay Zawoski. Follow the show at CHGO_Blackhawks. And go to allchgo for all the fun stuff.
We'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, we're 2 days off tomorrow, off Friday, back at it Saturday and Sunday. So we'll talk to you then.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.